With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
There's two things that happens when you walk by the Spirit. Number one, you consciously desire to live in a way that you don't grieve the Spirit. Secondly, you consciously live in a way to surrender to the Spirit of God by living in the context of where the Spirit of God works. He is in you, but He ministers to you through the Word, through sacraments, through worship, through fellowship, in prayer. And that is the way you walk in the Spirit, is by not quenching the Spirit, but surrendering to the Spirit.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, His Promise, Our Power. We continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. John the Baptist declared, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Shortly before His ascension, Jesus ordered His disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, saying, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The promise of the Father was the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And when the disciples received this gift, they received spiritual power to be His witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. This very same divine promise is the supernatural power that the church today must rely upon to bear testimony to Jesus Christ in our lost and dying world. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 through 9. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, His Promise, Our Power.
Well, let me give you five observations on what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian and a Spirit-filled church. Here's the first one. Number one, it starts with this. You got to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't go any further with this until I make an observation for you. And we got to clear some decks because there's some errors here. Most of us have heard of baptism. Here's what we've heard. First of all, we've heard this phrase, baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not biblical. The Holy Spirit doesn't baptize you with power. The Holy Spirit's not a baptizer. Jesus is the baptizer. I will baptize you with my Spirit. Result, power. Consequence, you'll be my witnesses. I will baptize you. The second thing is, therefore, so what we need to understand is that there's not baptism of the Holy Spirit. The second thing we need to understand is that baptism with the Spirit's not a second blessing. It's the saving blessing. It's not I get saved and then I get baptized with the Spirit. It's you can't be saved without being baptized with the Spirit. And in fact, that's how you know who is saved. In other words, Jesus is the baptizer. He will baptize every son of Adam. He will either baptize you with the Spirit to save you, or if you are apart from Him, one day He'll baptize you with fire. So Jesus is the baptizer. So if you don't mind, I'm going to stop here for a moment. Because you're all here. Jesus is going to baptize every one of you. Either with the Spirit, and you come to Christ, and sealed into Him. Or one day with fire. An everlasting judgment. I call you today to Him by His Spirit, who says, come to Him. Come to Him who will give you everlasting life. Baptism with the Spirit. It's the act of God that gives you life and seals you into your relationship with Christ. Well, what happens next? Well, then you have the Holy Spirit and He leads you. You are being led by the Spirit. In fact, that's the mark of your Christianity. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at what it says. Verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, that is self-reliance, you will die. But if by the Spirit, in other words, if your life is self-reliant and self-absorbed, that's death, that's sin. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now watch. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now it's very clear that the gift of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a second blessing, because he just told you what? You're not saved if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Who are the sons of God? Those who are being led by the Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? The Father promised him and the Son delivered him. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Could you put some words there for led? Here's some words for it. Guided, tutored, counseled, directed. For all who are being directed by the Holy Spirit, for all who are being empowered by the Holy Spirit, for all who are being taught by the Holy Spirit, for all who are being guided by the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. Here are those who are saved. They're being led by the Spirit. And therefore, they put to death the deeds of the flesh. They hate the deeds of the flesh. Why? Because the Spirit of God is bearing witness of Christ, and the Spirit of God is making the gospel alive to them. And so they are saying no to the flesh and yes to Jesus Christ in following him. Not with perfection by any means, because this is a growing process, but the Holy Spirit is striving and moving and empowering and convicting and enlightening and comforting and consoling and challenging and reproving and doing all of those things in our life. He is leading us. And that brings me to number three. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Third thing, the witness of the Spirit. Go to the next verse. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we now cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might be glorified with him. So folks, the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. He is at work within you. Now listen, you get assurance by looking to God's word. Oh, I'm in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am forgiven. I am pardoned. I am cleansed. I am clothed with his righteousness. Thank God for that assurance. But then that's objective assurance. Subjective assurance is the Holy Spirit is within me, bearing witness. And the good that I would do, oh, how I want to follow Jesus. And the evil that I find myself doing, oh, how I hate it. Oh, Holy Spirit, deliver me so that I can follow Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me to put to death the old man that I might walk in the newness of life. Help me to put off that I might put on. And all the time that he's consoling and counseling and teaching and enlightening and comforting and reproving me, all the while he's bearing witness, you belong to Jesus. You didn't get here on your own. I brought you here by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've done this work in you. That's why David said, I look to the rock I was hewn from and the pit that I was dug from. Praise God, he did it. He did it in my life. And so the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. Number four is the gifts of the Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every Christian has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's not a second blessing, that's a saving blessing. Every Christian, therefore, is led by the Spirit, and he's striving with us and teaching us and convicting us. And therefore, every Christian has the witness of the Spirit that we belong to Christ. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We also have a gift from the Spirit. Look at verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. Now watch. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So here we are, united in the Spirit, yet each one of us has a manifestation of the Spirit, and you are uniquely gifted to function within the body of Christ. Please say no to being a Lone Ranger Christian. You have to come to Christ personally, but you don't live your Christian life privately. You live it in relationship with God's people. And God's given you a gift that's extremely important, that there's no other one that's like it. You are unique, and you can't say, I don't need another part of the body. I need the other part of the body that the Holy Spirit is gifted, and they need me. Now, I know some of us sit there and we say, you know, Pastor, my gift must be not all that. I mean, my gift isn't all that important. Did you know some of the gifts that are least acknowledged are the most important in the body? Some of the things that are the least visible and invisible are more important. Example, I got up this morning and I combed my hairs before I came here. There were about 48 last night. There were about 42 this morning. My hair is falling out. And I look at the mirror and I take time to, it doesn't take long, but I take time to comb it and put it where it is, what's left there to the, there. My hair fell out last night. And I looked at the mirror. I gave it all kind of attention. Well, let me tell you, my hair fell out. Bodily, I'm still able to function. What would have happened if my liver had fell out? What would have happened if, but I don't give it much thought, do I? We don't give it a whole lot of thought, but what's more important? What's internal or what's external? So folks, there are no little people in the kingdom. God's given you a gift. He baptized you with the Spirit to save you. He leads you with the Spirit to make you more like Jesus. He bears witness to give you assurance. And He's gifted you to be a part of the body of Christ. Show up. Show up and serve your Savior. Number five, that means the fruit of the Spirit will be born in our life. Take your Bibles. One more text. Go to Galatians with me. One more text. Galatians chapter 5. And here is this matter of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Now, this wonderful text of Scripture declares the majesty of our salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and then the glorious work of the Holy Spirit. Slip down, if you would, to verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. See, we're being led by the Spirit. 13 steps, right? Walk by the Spirit, every step of the way. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Rest in Him. Rely upon Him. Intentionally do that. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. The Holy Spirit's there. You want to do that which is pleasing. Now you got to rely on the Holy Spirit. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then He gives the works of the flesh. If you don't mind, for the sake of time, just slip down with me. But what happens when you are led by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit? Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, how do you belong to Christ? You got the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's leading you. You're walking in the Spirit. What's the result of that? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Addictions don't have to control me. Appetites don't have to control me. I can eat and drink, not for eating and drinking, but I don't have to eat, live to eat and drink. I can eat and drink to the glory of God. I can eat. I don't live to eat and drink. I can eat and I can live for Christ. And what do I do with eating and drinking? I don't live to eat and drink. I that's not my life. I eat and drink to live for Christ. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That God's Holy Spirit can say, bring all the appetites to true enjoyment, not in idolatry, but in how God made us to enjoy them as we live for Him and glorify Him. Sex, food, drink, work, all of those things that God has given us to do that we love to do. And what's the manifestation? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love manifested in joy. Love manifested in joy, manifested in peace, and then patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. And self-control, the appetites of life, are brought under control under the Lordship of Christ, so that Christ, we're Christ-centered in our life, filled up with the love and power of the gospel. By the way, notice the singular. The what of the Spirit? The what did I get? What's that list one, number five? The fruit, not fruits. That's not a a la carte menu. Okay, I'll take love and joy. Cindy, you take patience. And George, you take kindness and goodness. No, no, they're all together. It's one cluster. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit in the changed life that's walking by the Spirit. Now, let me just give you, Harry, if I'm Spirit-filled, how do I know that? Let me just give you three things, three affirmations of the Spirit-filled life. How do you know someone's been baptized with the Spirit, they're led by the Spirit, they have the witness of the Spirit, they're using the gifts of the Spirit, and they're bearing the fruit of the Spirit? There's three things. They'll have a love for Jesus. They'll have a love for Christ. They'll be Christ-centered. That's how the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll give you power so that you'll be what? My witnesses. Folks, here is a Spirit-filled Christian. Let me just make this as clear as I can. Spirit-filled Christians will teach about the Holy Spirit, will honor the Holy Spirit, but they aren't centered on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the shy Spirit. He didn't come to draw attention to Him and His gifts. He came to gift you and empower you that Christ, how do you know somebody Spirit-filled? They're all about Jesus. Now that makes the work of the Spirit evident. And that is the purpose of the Spirit. There's a love for Christ. There's a love for the gospel. Saved by grace, praise the Lord. Through faith, all that Christ has done. The gospel blessings, I love them. The gospel call to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Not worthy to be saved, but worthy of the Savior. There's that love of the gospel. Its blessings and its commands. And there's that love of Christ, and that leads to a love for obedience. Give me the word of God that I might be obedient unto Him. Spirit-filled Christians, they're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. They're using them. They're not even talking about the Holy Spirit, although we've got to teach, just like we're doing today, so that everybody understands. We want to honor Him. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the glorious God. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's Him. We want to honor Him, want to teach about Him. But when we've taught right and He's working in our lives, Christ is being exalted all around us, gloriously and powerfully. A love for Christ, a love for the gospel, and a love for obedience. So here's the takeaway, one simple phrase. Here it is. The promised gift of the Holy Spirit provides both the presence of God and the power of God, which produces the biblically affirmed mark of the authentic Christian. How do you know an authentic Christian? Well, they've been saved to Christ with the gospel by the Holy Spirit. They're Spirit-filled, Christ-centered gospel. And you know that they have because all who are led by the Spirit, there's the mark. They're led by the Spirit. That marks them out authentically as those who belong to Jesus Christ. It marks them out. So my dear friends, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Surrender. Harry, how do I surrender? Can I just give you one idea? Get into God's Word. The Holy Spirit gave you the Word. These, all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I just put the author, Holy Spirit. Say, Harry, I thought Paul wrote that. Mm-hmm. By the Holy Spirit. Harry, I thought that was in the book of Romans. Yes. By the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit, get into God's Word. There your love for the Holy Spirit is fulfilled. The other day, my wife and I were cleaning out a closet, and we happened to find a shoebox. Then the shoebox contained a large number of letters that she had written to me while we were courting and engaged, before I delivered her from the bondage of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And I opened up the box and I saw that stack of letters and I took the rubber band off, and folks, this was a moment. Harry, what do you mean it was a moment? This was a crucial moment because we went through each letter. Every time we went to a letter, I prayed, "Oh God, please let this envelope be opened. I don't want to get to one that was unopened." And why didn't you read that one? "Please, Lord, every envelope of these love letters, let them be opened." You got 66 from your God, given by the Holy Spirit. Do you love him? Open his letters. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Listen to him. Surrender to him. Absorb him. And then some astounding things will happen in your life. You who are baptized with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, with the witness of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in work, and the fruit of the Spirit in a changed life. Some astounding, the unbelievable pressing moments of life, there will be an astounding responses that you will make, and you'll sit and say, oh my goodness, where did that come from? Like a great Presbyterian preacher named James Henley Thornwell, who had this marvelous, godly 19-year-old daughter, his only daughter, his only child, whom he loved dearly. In the 1858 and 1859, he was away at the General Assembly while they were making preparations for her wedding. The invitations had gone throughout all of the region. People were traveling for days and weeks to come to that wedding there in Columbia, South Carolina. And while they were on their way and her father was at the General Assembly, she got a severe case of typhoid fever. Her father made it back just in time to get to her deathbed. All the wedding guests were coming, and it wasn't going to be a wedding. It was going to be a funeral. He knelt beside her in utter despair. Oh, my dear child. And she looked at him and she said, Father, don't weep. I soon will be in glory. He said, but it was your wedding. All of your life was before you. Why would God do this? She said, Father, don't weep. I am going to a greater bridegroom. Holy Spirit showed up right there. In the life of this 19-year-old girl, the Holy Spirit, in a glorious way, administered to her great preacher father. And so if you go to Elmwood Cemetery, you can go see where she's buried. She was buried in her bridal gown, and the inscription is, I have arisen to a greater groom, prepared for him. Holy Spirit showed up. Or maybe it was Donald Gray Barnhouse that was preaching this marvelous conference. And in the conference, it was just a nice little church where he was preaching and everything was going. They had a pastor and they had a youth pastor. And the youth pastor was married and they were receiving a child and they're giving birth. And they kind of went back and forth the whole week giving him a hard time because she was pretty close to delivery. And toward the end of the conference, they looked and he wasn't there that night. And they all kind of joked, well, we know where he is. The baby has come. At the end of the service, they looked and he came in and sat on the back row weeping uncontrollably. Dr. Barnhouse immediately went back there and he said, my son, has your child been born? And he said, yes. And he explained the quote unquote birth defect and its severity. And weeping uncontrollably, he looked at Donald Gray Barnhouse and he said, why? Barnhouse put his arm around him and said, my son, you and your wife must be special. Look at whom God has entrusted to you. Someone that He has specially designed. For He makes the dumb. He makes the eye that can't see. And the tongue that stammers. And this special design of God has been given to you. The young man's eyes were lit afresh and anew. He went home immediately and called his wife. That's the Holy Spirit. But while he's talking to his wife, listening in was a nurse who was not a believer, who despised Christians and despised that church, and went secretly was enjoying the agony that this pastor and his wife was going through. And that was back in the days we could listen in on party lines. And explain that to your children, what that is when you go home. And she was listening in on it. And as she listened, He called his wife up and he said, "Honey, I'm on my way back. I just talked with Donald Barnhouse. Did you know God made our child specially?" And then he read the passage from Exodus. And when he finished reading the passage, he said, "Isn't God gracious to allow us to raise this child for him?" She began to weep and he began to weep with joy. And he immediately put down the phone and raced to the hospital. She immediately put down the phone and started telling every doctor and nurse. And the next Sunday, the church was full of doctors and nurses, many of which came to Christ. The Holy Spirit has showed up. Praise His name. 13 steps? No. Every step of life, walk in the Spirit.
The promise of the Father was the baptism with the Holy Spirit, giving the disciples spiritual power to be His witnesses. This very same divine promise is the supernatural power that the church today must rely upon to bear testimony to Jesus Christ in our lost and dying world. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request His Promise, Our Power, or simply ask for message number 11344. Again, that's message number 11344. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." We live in an age where the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit is either distorted or neglected. Yet His power and presence has never been more needed. In Perspective is pleased to announce the offering of Harry Reader's newest CD series, The Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective. Harry delves into the Scriptures in great detail in this two-volume set on the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled and anointed in the Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? The study comes in two volumes. Volume 1 contains 16 CDs and is available for $40. Volume 2 has 13 CDs and is available for $35. Order both for $75. Ask for the Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective when you contact us, or order online by going to briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. The goal of this sermon series is that we become more and more led by the Spirit each day. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reader takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.